Amen. Yes, I know. I've watched them all morning. Thanks. You're a lot of help, Joey. Oh, there's a comedian in the house. Amen. If you would, turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 15. We're going to read quite a bit today. Mark chapter 15. This is our last Sunday in the book of Mark. So we're going to, of course, next week, Vicki and Jeff will be here. After that, my intention is to tell you some Old Testament stories. I love telling stories. I think we can glean so much from the Old Testament. So that's where I intend to go for a little while. And then between Mother's Day and Father's Day, we're going to teach on the family. Of course, I think Treva's has agreed to speak on Mother's Day. I speak that in faith. I'll be speaking on Father's Day, and then in between, we're going to be speaking on parenting and some other things like that. The home, families need a lot of help. And so I think we just need to turn our attention towards the home for a little while. So we'll do that between Mother's Day and Father's Day. And then after that, we'll probably go to a New Testament book. Okay. Mark chapter 15, verse 42. Says, now when the evening had come, because it was the preparation day, that is the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God coming and taking courage, went in to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate marveled that he was already dead. He marveled that Jesus was already dead. And he summoned the centurion and he asked him if he had been dead for some time. So when he found out from the centurion, he granted the body to Joseph. Then he brought fine linen, took him down, wrapped him in the linen, and he laid him in a tomb which had been hewn out of the rock and rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. And Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, observed where he was laid. Now when the Sabbath was past, Mary Magdalene, I'm in chapter 16, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices they might come and anoint him. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb when the sun had risen. And they said among themselves, who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man, it was an angel, clothed in a long white robe, sitting on the right side. And they were alarmed, but he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly and fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now when he arose on the first day of the week, he appeared to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and that it had been seen by her, they did not believe. After that, he appeared in another form and two of them as they walked and went into the country. And they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, he appeared to the 11 as he sat at the table. He rebuked them because of their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they did not believe those who had been sent to him after he had risen. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll cast out demons. They'll speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Father God, we just come before you today. We're so thankful for your word, which is truth. how it applies to our life, how it's relevant for this day. 2,000 years later, your word is still relevant. Father, I pray, God, that you would just have your way in the service. Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, that we would be in tune to the Spirit of God and what He is saying this morning. And that, God, I pray that every one of us would leave changed people. God, changed into to the image of Christ more than we've been in our whole life. God, don't leave us where we are today. How desperate we are for a change in our life. Lord, we need you. We may not even know how desperate we need you, but we need you. May we sense our desperation. God, let us know. Those of us who think we've got life by the tail, God, how desperate we are. We may be breathing some of our last breath, and we just don't even know it. Eternity may be right around the corner, and we go on like nothing. God, I pray that today we will sense the urgency of the Spirit of God. May we sense your call, your anointing, and your presence in this place. God, sometimes we're just a little dull. We just don't hear what we should be hearing. Wake us up. Let us know that you are coming. You are coming. Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight. My rock and my redeemer. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about take the grave clothes off. It's time to rejoice. Take the grave clothes off. It's time to rejoice. You know, there are certain times in our life, and we all know these things, but there's just certain times when there's proper dress and there's a proper attitude that goes with that dress for that occasion. Does that make sense to you? If I'm going to the wedding, I don't dress like I'm going to a beach party, right? It's not proper, so we don't do that. If I'm going to a funeral, I don't dress like I'm going to a wedding. I don't act like I'm going to a wedding. If I'm going into a hospital room, I go pretty sober. Not mean physically sober. I'm always sober, thank you. But somber, maybe is a better word. Serious-minded. Because somebody is sick and I need to be there and you need to be there. So there's just certain times when the proper behavior is such, and you know the proper, you know the protocol. Can I say it that way? We know the protocol and we need to work within that, those guidelines. But have you ever been to a place where you blew the protocol? Huh? Where you walked into a place and everybody's somber and you're cutting jokes, or everybody's cutting jokes and you're in a bad mood, or you're dressed like a beach party when it's a very serious occasion, right? I've done that. It's not pleasant. You know, if you're close to my age, life has changed. We had a meeting with the bank president this week, and he walked in dressed like me. I've never seen a bank president that wasn't in a suit and tie. And it just caught me off guard. I'm like, you're the bank president? When did this happen? When did bankers quit dressing in suits? I just don't get it. So I understand that our world is much more casual. But there's still a proper place, a proper time. But sometimes we just miss it. So my first point is, don't miss what God is doing. Is it possible that we could be in church and still miss God? I'd say it's more than possible, it's probable. Joseph of Arimathea was a part of the Sanhedrin. So he was a very prominent man. I'm just telling you what Scripture says. He was a very prominent man. He was very highly respected. And he was well-meaning. He was wanting to do good. He goes in to Pilate and he says, I would like to have the body of Jesus. I want to give him a proper burial. I want to do this. And it was scripturally, it had already been prophesied that Jesus would be buried in a rich man's tomb. It's exactly what happened. Everything happened just the way it was. However, the scripture said one thing. It said that, let me see if I can find that. He says, Joseph of Arimathea in chapter 15, verse 43, a very prominent council member who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God. He was waiting for something that was already happening. You know, there are those today that say this all the time. I just can't wait for a move of the Spirit of God. I got news for you. Spirit of God's already moving. Maybe you need to get with the program. Maybe it's you. Why is it so dry? Why is this church dry? Well, it's not dry for everybody. I can remember when I was a kid, just a child, I would go to church with my mom, and my mom would stand there with her arms up and tears dripping off her cheeks. And I would think, boy, this is a boring service. Well, it wasn't for her. Is it possible that we can miss something that God is doing? It absolutely is. I think it's time for Christians to wake up. I think the coming of Jesus is very close. I think it's going to take many people by surprise. I think there's too many Christians looking for the easy way out today, rather than looking for what God's got planned for their life. I think there's a lot of Christians that are saying, well, this cannot be God. It's way too difficult. This is not working out. This is really causing me to work. This is causing me stress. This can't be God. You might want to wake up. I got news for you. God's not all about your comfort. God's about your submission. Maybe God's wanting to do something in your life that makes you highly uncomfortable. Don't miss what God's doing. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11 and 12, he says, and do this, knowing the time, that now it's high time to awake out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. I believe that the church is asleep. I'm not speaking of Bridge of Hope. I'm speaking of the Kingdom of God's church. That's Baptist Church of Christ. That's all of us, right? I believe we're sleeping. And somebody needs to give us a nudge. Somebody says, don't miss this last time. Don't miss what the Spirit of God is doing. It's very possible that you may even sit in this service and think, boy, I sure wish the Spirit of God is moving. The Spirit of God is moving. See, just because he doesn't make someone shout doesn't mean the Spirit of God. Pentecostals, we are too bad to tell the Spirit of God how he's got to move. We want to feel a goosebump. We want to give the old jerk, the chicken walk. You know what I'm talking about. And that may come, but it may never come again. You got to understand, God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, but how he acts through the generations can change. What he is doing today will be different than what he did 100 years ago. For those of you that were there. I just don't want us to miss it. Joseph was waiting for the kingdom to come. The kingdom had already come. Are you getting that? I don't want to be here the day after the rapture of the church saying, when's the rapture of the church going to happen? Yesterday. Dear God, That'd make me go to my knees. God, are you coming a second time? Will you come one more time? Nope. You're going to have to do it another way, boy. I don't want to do it another way. Number two is Jesus will change you body, soul, and spirit so you can be used for His business. It's not, listen to this, it is not just about you getting to heaven. Christians, sometimes we are the most selfish-minded people in all the world. We turn our eyes so inward that life is all about us. And it's not. What are you doing for the kingdom of God? Scripture starts one way, but we ended another. Did you notice? We ended with go. One time, they're burying Jesus. And within the next couple of days, Jesus is talking to him and saying, go. You know where we're living at today? We're living in the go. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Are you a living sacrifice? You know what a sacrifice is? Living and sacrifice does not go together. Sacrifices did not live. They were dead. This is an oxymoron. Because he says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. Could we say it this way? You are to be a living dead man. Does that not just smack you in the face? I'm going to tell you, as the pastor of this church, I'm a long way from dead. I still have things that I want to do. I fight with this every day of my life. My will, your will. And I've got to just be really honest with you. A lot of times I win. He doesn't. Do you think that pleases him? No, I don't think it pleases him at all. I just don't think that we like to even think this way. I don't think we like to talk about this. Am I a living dead man? I want you to know Jesus wants to change you physically, emotionally, spiritually, and doctrinally. There is no part of your life that he wants to leave untouched. Think about this. The ladies went to the tomb expecting the challenge of rolling away the stone. But when they left, they were challenged to believe what they had seen. They were thinking, how are we going to do this physically? But they left thinking, how are we going to do this? How are we going to even believe this? Who is going to believe our report? They came one way, but they left totally another. I believe when you encounter Jesus, that's exactly what happens to you. See, I believe every time we get together in church, it's not to make you feel good. It's so that you can leave changed. Whether you've been saved for 6 months or 40 years, you should leave changed. If you're leaving the same way every time service, find another church. Even if it's Bridge of Hope, find a church that God will change you in. Emotionally, they came defeated. Can you imagine how you go to the tomb? They came the same way. They came thinking that they're going to do their duty. We're going to put more spices on Jesus. We're going to anoint His body. We're going to do the things that we would do to a corpse. They came mourning. They came sad. They came very defeated. But they left celebrating. They left celebrating. They took the grave clothes off. You remember when Jesus called Lazarus forth? Lazarus comes. Remember how he came? Come bound. That's what Scripture says. Why? Because they wrapped him tight. He was mummified. Been wrapped. He may have been taking a little Charlie Chan chips. I don't know. But he was bound. Jesus' last instructions was, he looked at the guys standing around, and I believe it's a message to the church. He said, now you loose him and set him free. See, I think God does something, and I think the church does something. And I think our instruction is to go and loose them. Go and tell the world that they don't have to live in captivity any longer. Go and set them free so they can live for me. Emotionally, they was changed. Spiritually, they came out of respect for the dead. But they left with their eyes wide open, realizing Jesus had defeated death, hell, and the grave. And doctrinally, they came in unbelief. They came in despair. But they found more faith, hope, and love when they left. And they came home with one thing specifically. Do you know what it was? Instructions on their future. He said, now you go tell the disciples that I'll meet them in Galilee. We come up with all kinds of weird beliefs in the church. This book ought to be where we get our doctrine. I told you this story before, but as a senior citizen director, I talked to a lot of people about Jesus. And I was talking to a lady who was in her 60s. And she said, well, I believe that when you die, you just sort of go back into the fetal position and you just sort of go into the grave. And I said, where did you get that nonsense? She didn't appreciate that. I said, where'd you come up with that? And she said, I just thought it. Do you realize how many people are coming up with their doctrine because they just thought it? You know, there are some people that are going to tell you that the Bible's not totally inspired. Some of our seminaries are actually teaching that. You know what that tells me? Now I have to trust a man to tell me what part of the Bible is inspired and what part of the Bible is not inspired. You know what? I ain't going there. I believe every word of it's inspired. I may not understand every word of it, but I believe every word of it's inspired. And if I fail, I'd rather fail trusting him as trusting a man. I will trust him with his word. It may not work out for me every time the way I think, and it never has. And yet I will trust him. Job said, though he slay me, I will trust him. That's the kind of faith I believe we're going to have to come back to in the end times. It may not work the way you think, guys. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. It may not work the way you think, but it still works the way he planned it. It's our thinking that's messed up. You make sure you get your doctrine from the Word of God. Go to the, and every one of you says, yes, yes, oh, preach it, pastor, preach it. But we just don't do it. We still come up with these harebrained ideas. I'm talking about Christians who have been saved for a long time. Well, I just think God wants me happy. Scripture and verse, please. You show me in the Bible where he says he wants you happy. It's not in there. He wants you dead. Your happiness is secondary to you fulfilling what he's called you to do. And when you fulfill what he's called you to do, you will find you're not happy, you're full of joy. You see, happiness comes and goes like this. Oh, if I buy a new car, I'm happy. But when I get the payment book, I ain't happy. When I get married, I'm happy until that first fight, and then I'm not happy. You see what I'm saying? Happiness, oh, it's a roller coaster ride, but the joy of the Lord goes right straight up. He don't want you happy, He wants you joyful. He wants you peaceful, not living in anxiety. Will you trust Him? Listen to me. Will you trust Him? When it doesn't go your way, will you trust Him? It's difficult, but I pray there's something in your heart that says, yes, I will trust Him. Though He slay me, though things do not work the way I think He's got them planned, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll still trust my Savior. You getting it? It's time to take the grave clothes off. I don't think we ought to be weeping anymore. I think we need to get to work. I think it's time to go. It's time to live for God. He wants to teach us even how to think. Last point that I want to bring to you. It's time we stop focusing on ourselves. Dying. If you think more about dying than living, you are living in sin. Got to take care of your dying. Start thinking about living. I want to live till the moment I die. Does that make sense? In other words, I want to do the will of God until the moment He takes me home. I don't think God wants us consumed with dying. He'll take care of that. He will make the transfer for you. Let's get on with living. Let's quit talking about getting older, getting weaker, and our bodies falling apart. Right? Let's start talking about the strength of the Lord. Let's start talking like Caleb and said, I might be 40 years older, but I'm still able to take my mountain. Guys, I know as you get older, there's more pain. You know, we don't have to be rocket science to know that. I know there's things that hurt that you didn't even know when you were 20 that you had it. Right? Man, I don't know what that is, but it sure hurts. I understand that. Life changes as you get old. We're still able. You hear me? We're still able. If God, if you can fog a mirror, you're still able to do something for God. I think we need to quit the unrighteous living. We don't even like to call it what it is anymore. Well, say, I just made a mistake. No, you didn't. You sinned. Well, I misspoke. No, you didn't. You lied. Well, I made a bad choice. No, you broke the law. Call it what it is. Take responsibility for your actions. I'm just going to go. Quit blaming mama. You're 42 years old. You've been an adult a long time. It's not mama's fault anymore. You getting me? At some point, you got to take responsibility for who you are. And I know there's lots of people that were mistreated as kids. I understand that. But that ain't going to help you. You've got to take responsibility. God, I am what I am. What can you do with it? And I believe God wants to do something. I believe God, He knows our limitations. But let Him not know our unbelief. Let's start focusing on our race. I was talking to a gentleman this week, Dave Hannigan, who's Treva's boss. He races motorcycles, and he told me something that I thought was highly interesting. He said, Eric, he said, you know, when you're racing a motorcycle, you know, you're going around this track. And I mean, they go high speeds. I think they're running, what, 130, maybe 150 miles an hour, maybe even more. And he said, people will go off the track. Sometimes they'll wreck. And if you will let yourself, if you're not careful, if you're looking at them, you'll follow them right into the wreck. Or you'll follow them off their track. He says, it's something about our minds. He said, we'll go where we're focusing. If you're racing, you better keep your eyes on the next curve, not on the guy's wheel in front of you. And if you're running this race, get your eye off the neighbor. Get your eye off the guy in front of you. You better put it on the race. Put it on Jesus Christ. Say, God, I'm chasing you. Keep me on the right path. I'm going with all the gusto I can go. I'm going. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of this earth. I want you to know there's people that's hurting all over this world. I began to research and study this week, and I found out since 1999, suicide has risen 24%. And that's about 2 or 3 years old. And since that time, it continues to rise. It is now the 10th leading cause of death in America is suicide. And I know what most people think. It's those kids. Yeah, you're right. It is. You know who the second highest number of individuals, class of age group that commit suicide? 85 plus. I say that to say this. There's people hurting of all ages. What are you doing to help? Well, nothing. Thank you for your answer, because that's very honest. I've been consumed with just me getting to heaven. I got news for you. Jesus wants to use you. He wants to speak through you. He wants to love through you. We live in a world that's hurting. And to use a phrase from the world, going to hell in a handbasket. Faster than ever before. And the word has been given, go into all the world and preach the gospel. And most of the church says, yes, pastor, go. Go. And yet, when I read that word, nowhere in there does it say, pastors, you go into all the world. It says, go. The subject is hidden. You remember that in grammar? The subject, the noun, is hidden. But you could write it in, and it says, you go. It's written to you, the guys in the pew, the man in the pulpit, it's written to every one of us. Go into all the world. 2 Corinthians 5:15 says, we no longer live for ourselves. Loneliness is the key contributor to America's suicide epidemic. What are you doing about it? 30, 40 years ago, everyone knew their neighbor. We'd go sit on their porch and drink iced tea. Today, you can't get Christians out of their home to just walk across the street and talk to their neighbor. I think we've got to rethink some things. I really do. I'm not just preaching this because it makes me happy, because it convicts me just as much as I think it convicts you. We are very isolated. We act one way in church, and we act a whole nother way in the marketplace. It's pretty easy to shout in church. It's a little bit more difficult in Walmart. and you may get arrested if you act like you did. I think we need to let our light shine. Three times in the scripture I read to you, it talks about their unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, I think it's verse 12, says that evil heart of unbelief. Unbelief is evil. Don't you let anybody tell you differently. It's evil. Mark chapter 11, verse 22, Jesus was talking to the guys and he says, have faith in God. The original Greek would have read, have the faith of God. Have the faith of God. For surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he'll have whatever he says. Faith speaks. It speaks. You say, well, it's not speaking through me. Yeah, it probably is. If you got up today and said, my back is just killing me, how'd that make you feel? Made you feel like your back is just killing you, did it? You know, I say that almost every morning. Oh, man, my back. You know what? It ain't getting better. I think maybe I need to change my confession. What do you think? I think maybe I need to get up and say, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, bless the Lord back. Bless the Lord. I think we need to quit talking about our problem. Start talking to our problem. Faith speaks. Well, that old piece of junk I drive, it breaks down about every week. Probably not disappointed, are you? What if we changed that and said, bless the Lord, I thank you for that piece of junk. Because it gets me where I'm going. And I believe, Lord, you'll replace that sooner or later. I want you to get my point. Faith speaks. It doesn't just speak positively. It speaks negatively many times. How come everything I touch breaks down? That's faith. You just spoke it. That kid of mine, he'll probably be in jail by the time he's 21. That's faith. You just spoke it. That church over there, they say one thing, but they ain't nothing. That's faith. You just spoke it. Faith speaks. You might want to listen to yourself to determine where your faith is. What if we blessed our kids instead of cursing them? What if we said, your behavior is not real pleasing to me today, but I know you're good. I know God's got a plan for you. You may be fighting against it right now, but God wins. I have prayed for you. You're going to do well. Don't you think that's better than saying, you ain't nothing but a failure? You're a disappointment to me. I don't know if you've ever been, if you ever heard that from a parent. I have. It's not pleasant. It's time to believe, guys. It's also time to go. You say, it sure is, Pastor. It's 12:02. It's time to go. I would dismiss you right now if you'd say, yes, we're going to go and we're going to preach the gospel to everybody we come into today. But I don't think you're there yet, so I'm going to preach to you a little bit longer. You know, for years I wondered, God, do you want me to pastor? And all I could see was my inabilities, my insufficiencies. And I kept saying, God, there's no way. There's no way you called me to pastor. There's just, God, you must be the rake in the bottom of the barrel if you're calling me to pastor. God, it can't be you. I had one positive thing in my life going. And that's if my pastor asked me to do something, I would do it. I determined that when I was 15 years old. I said, God, if the pastor asked me to do something, I will try with all my heart, I'll try to do it, just believing that it's from you. And one day Art came to me and he said, I want you to lead the team that's going to Paris. I said, Pastor, I hate Paris. Paris is my Nineveh. We moved to Kentucky because my dad was a drunk and Callaway County was dry. Guess where he came every time he wanted to get alcohol? He came to Paris, Tennessee. My memories of Paris were not kind. I wanted nothing to do with Paris. All it brought back to me in my memory was bad things, bad thoughts. I said, Pastor, you got to be tapping the wrong one now. You can't ask me to go to Paris. He said, will you pray about it? Of course I will. It took less than a day. And I said, okay, Pastor, I'll go. If that's where the Lord wants me, I'll go. You see, only God knows the joy that He sets before us if we just submit it. Today, I love Paris. I find the people of Paris, Tennessee, to be the friendliest people in the world. I just have a supernatural love for this town. Only God knew that. So I said, yeah, I'll go. But I went just to help him out. I didn't go because I was called a pastor. I just went, okay, Pastor, I'll submit to you. And he said, well, I just want you to preach my sermons down there. I can do that. I'll preach your sermons. But as I preached his sermons, something started happening in my heart and in Treva's heart. And all of a sudden, I woke up to the idea, God, you called me to pastor. I remember going to Pastor Art one day and I said, God's called me to pastor. He said, Eric, everybody in this church knows that except for you. I had fought with it for years. So I'm telling you, it's time to quit wondering. It's time to get up and do something. You know, you got that ideal in your heart. Well, maybe I ought to do this. Maybe you should. Why not try it? I think the Spirit of the Lord is saying today, go! Do something! I really believe that He's just hollering, saying, yes, I want you to talk! I want you to go. I want you to preach. I want you to love. I want you to do something. It's time Christianity comes out of the church, goes into the marketplace. That mandate, that word is 2,000 years old. And if you believe like I believe we're in the last decade, the last few years, and Jesus is saying, get out of the church! Go preach! Go live it! Go testify! Go love somebody! Go to your neighbor's house and tell them God loves you! It's time to proclaim it. Wherever you're at, you don't have to know the word. You don't have to have all the scriptures memorized. I know that's the number one. Well, Pastor, I just don't know the Bible very well. Well, you're not going to learn it either. Not until you get out. You know what you do know? You know what Jesus did for you. Remember the guy in the Bible that was healed? He said, who did this? Who did this? They was questioning. He said, hey, ho, ho, ho. I don't know what's happening. All I know is I used to be blind, but now I see. The most powerful thing you can tell your neighbor is what Jesus did for you. You may not have Bible and verse to tell it, to back it up, but you know what He did for you. You turn TV on today, you're going to see something. You're going to see about 20 minutes commercials for every hour that TV's on. And every commercial is going to say,
look, my kid ran out and got muddy, and I used Tide, and look at the shirt now. You know what that is? That's a testimony. See, we're so focused on what's rough in our life. And Jesus says, turn it around, buddy. Turn it around. Your wife died. Your husband died. And now you're the number one chapter in the book. You turn it around. You've been divorced? Turn it around. You've been defeated? Let's turn it around. I've filed bankruptcy. Let's turn it around. Whatever Satan has meant for bad, let's turn it around. Let's use it for good. This is the way. You ever met anybody that says, I couldn't talk five words without using a cuss word? That's a testimony of God's grace in your life. Well, I was a pervert. I looked at dirty magazines. I looked at all this. God took me out of it. That's a testimony. I was a drug addict. That's a testimony. As long as it was. I was an alcoholic. I was a skirt chaser. I was immoral. I was. I was abused. I've been sexually molested. But God healed me. God's restored me. I used to think defeat. I used to think about suicide all the time. I used to think this way. God changed my life. I'm telling you, if we'll start talking our testimony, if we'll start telling people what Jesus did for us, this society, this world that we live in will change. They need hope. And you've got it in your hearts. It's time we go. It's time we go. Stand with me. The grave clothes got to come off. Because we ain't mourning a death any longer. If you notice that cross, Jesus is not on that cross. He's in heaven. The biggest test of His life was on that cross. Can I say He won? He won. Because He submitted His will to God's will. He won. Because He won, you win. Now it's very possible that you're in the middle of the battle today. You may be saying, Pastor, I'm not so sure that I win or lose. Right now the verdict is still out. I'm not for sure if I'm a winner. If you ask me how I feel, I'm going to tell you, I don't feel like a winner. I want to tell you, you're a winner. Jesus Christ has not caused you to defeat. He caused you to triumph. You are a winner. You may be going through difficulty right now, but you win. You hear me? Listen to the Spirit of God right now. You didn't get that. I'm telling you, there are some of you that you don't even know why you act a certain way. You wonder yourself why you're so bad. Why do I? You get alone in the front of your mirror and you look at yourself and you say, why do I act this way? I don't want to act this way. I want you to know you're a winner. You win. Hear me. The Spirit of God is speaking this today. You are triumphant in Jesus Christ. Your actions may not be real pleasing today, but He has a better plan for you. He wants to do something positive in your heart. He wants to change your test and make it a testimony for the grace of God. Let's take the grave clothes off. Days of mourning are over. It's time to put the work clothes on. It's time to get to work. I'm going to ask you, if you would, if you feel the Spirit of God moving today, I want you to just step forward. We're going to end this with a prayer for all those that just feel like God is speaking to me today. He may be speaking something totally different to you. But if you feel the urgency of the Spirit, would you just step down? Step to the front of this congregation. Say, Pastor, why do you do it? Because your head needs to see you're making an action. Your head needs to see that there's a corresponding action to the feeling that's going on in your heart. The Spirit of the Lord is moving and you're responding. I don't know who you are. I don't know who you are, but that one that I was talking about, the Spirit of God pinned you. That person that's upset with the way they act. I know you're here. I know you're here. You're disappointed even with yourself. I want you to know the Spirit of God said you are a winner. But you need to start with a prayer of repentance. You need to give Him the authority to change you so that your actions will change. I don't want you to be the race car driver that runs into the wreck that's in front of you because you're focusing on the wreck. Quit focusing on the wreck that you are right now. Point your eyes to Jesus Christ. You're a winner. Let's pray. Father God, we just come before you today. God, you see every heart. You see every person at this altar today. Lord, I believe there's something in us that's crying out for you today. That's saying, God, I want to live like a dead man. I want to be a living sacrifice for you. I want to do the will of God. I want to speak when you say speak. I want to go when you say go. I want to be your servant. I want to do your will. I want to win. I want to be triumphant. Right now I might not feel triumphant, but my feelings will deceive me. I submit my will to your will, just like Jesus did in the garden. It's not my will. It's your will. Your will be done in my heart. God, you speak right now to each person. Let the Spirit of God begin to speak to our individual hearts. God, those that need a good kick in the seat of the pants to get out of their seat, to do something for you, God, I pray they feel the Spirit of God. I pray they feel His foot in the back. Saying, it's time for you to go. It's time for you to get. Those that need encouragement, God, I pray, Lord, that you speak comfort and encouragement to them. Those that feel like failures, and even that one that's contemplating suicide, within the sound of my voice, there is someone thinking suicide. And the Spirit of God put that in my sermon today for you and you alone. Hear the Spirit of God. The plan that you have is going to destroy the hope, the calling of God that He has on your life. You don't need to commit suicide. You need to turn your heart over to Him. Holy, holy, completely. You will be surprised. You will be a new creature in Christ. The behavior that you're so upset with will be changed. It may actually become the joy of your life as He changes it so completely. Spirit of God knows who you are. I do not. I just know you're here. I know your thoughts. I pray right now the Spirit of God rescues you. I pray that He makes Himself aware in your heart. And I pray that you change your mind. Dear God, do a special work. Rescue, Lord, rescue. Father, for the rest of us, inspire us to go, to do, to rejoice, and to live like a dead man. God, we may not be much, but we are yours. Have your way in our life. We submit completely to you. Use us. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.